Welcome back, Take Two fan. Wait, hold on. Start again, because they're not coming back from anything, are they?
No.
Why would I say welcome back when we haven't started anything? All right, we'll start again.
Well, no, I mean, they're back from the previous episode they listened to, maybe?
That's true. We can go with that.
Maybe they hit, maybe the intro music was awesome, and then they hit pause, and then decided to come back.
Yeah, that makes it. They went to go get a drink, so they can enjoy it while they're listening to this. They went to go get themselves a tropical drink.
I fully recommend multiples of drinks before listening to our show. I do fully support that.
Any episode, weekly, specials, anything.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, anyway, any thoughts on a random tropical paradise you'd like to take?
Yes! What a coincidence you happen to be asking that, Brian. Because today we're going to talk about the movie Random Tropical Paradise that actually just came out on June 9th. It came out in select theaters across the country, and then it's on video on demand everywhere, so you can watch it on demand. I don't know what the right way to say that is.
That's like saying ATM machine.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Which doesn't
make
sense.
You watch something on demand?
On demand. You just watch something on demand. Okay.
On demand.
Either way, that's where Random Tropical Paradise is located. Amazon and VOD. It has some theater release.
Yeah, I know there's LA, New York, Atlanta. I think Nashville was another one. All around the country, because the director and some of the cast members have been going around doing Q&A sessions before and after the movies. Unfortunately, nothing here in the local DC area where we are, but that doesn't matter because we were still able to talk to the writer, director, producer, Sanjeev Sirpal, and we're going to play his interview at the end of this after me and Brian have a little talk about how much we enjoyed Random Tropical Paradise.
Thanks to Alexander Graham Bell and the invention of the telephone, we got to have a Q&A sesh of our own.
Exactly.
And we didn't just get some low-life actor. We got the writer, the producer, and the director all in one package.
All in one. I think he probably also did craft services. Maybe he was costume director. It sounded like he did everything. So.
So let's get cracking. What did you think of this movie?
I thought it was really enjoyable. I mean, I think if you're going in for a funny comedy, you're not looking for, in-depth, plot points and, this is not Shawshank you're going to see or anything like that. This is a fun, kind of in the same vein as Hangover or Club Dread, if you ever saw that with or any of those Broken Lizard guy stuff, Super Troopers, that kind of stuff. I had that same kind of vibe with it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It was about, so we can give some people some idea of the plot. Basically, two guys, one of them is about to get married. He finds out on his wedding day at the actual ceremony that his fiance is not too into it because she's, upstairs just banging another groomsman instead.
The acoustics of that church are phenomenal. Really.
Phenomenal.
An organist in that church. You know who should book that church is Sister Act. Whoopi should book that church because the acoustics are great. You could hear that lady and the other gentleman quite loudly.
Quite loudly while he was standing at the altar.
Yep.
Obviously the wedding is off. Him and the best man who had been friends for years decided that why have the money go to waste? And instead of wasting the honeymoon, which they'd already paid for, they went on, I believe, what the director referred to as a homeymoon.
Yep.
And him and his friend went out and enjoyed going on the honeymoon themselves. And, there's nice-looking women involved, there's beautiful paradise, there's illicit drugs, there's mob bosses, drug trafficking. It's pretty great.
Just your standard Saturday afternoon.
Standard Saturday afternoon, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, you mentioned this to the director, to Sanjeev Sirpal, about how, this should happen more often. This just looked like a fun time regardless. I think all the Take-Two hosts should get together and go down to this little tropical island. And there's drinks, there's sun, there's women scantily clad everywhere. Most men enjoy.
I don't know why. I feel like this should be, a thing. It should be known, hey, if something happens in the wedding, whosever fault it is. If the groom backs out, then the maid of honor and the bride get to go on the honeymoon. And if the bride backs out, then the best man and the groom go on the honeymoon. It just should sort of be like a given in society, I think.
As much money is spent on weddings, that should definitely be in a contract somewhere.
Yep.
If one backs out, the other still gets to go on the trip with someone of their choosing.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Boop, boop. And they get to tag them in all their Facebook photos when they post about how great of a time they have without them.
Without him, exactly. Completely agree. Completely agree. So the reason I even found out about this movie is because on Twitter I follow Joe Pantaleone, Joey Pants, and Spencer Grammer, who's been in a couple things. She's been in Rick and she does one of the voices for Rick and Morty, and she was in Greek, which I watched probably shouldn't have because I'm pretty sure I was out of that age demographic when I watched it, and I was, you know, a male.
Yeah.
But no, but, you know, I still watched it. And so both of them were talking about it on their Twitter feed. So I looked into it. You know, we started talking to the production company about it, and then eventually got in touch with the writer director Sanjeev, and we were able to get a nice interview with him. And in much Take Two fashion, we went for a short 10 to 15 minute interview that lasted about 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think we ever will be able to just record something quick, but at least Sanjeev played right along because he was a chatter. He liked to talk.
He did.
Yeah, he seemed like a very cool guy. I listened to your interview. He seemed like a very cool guy. He actually fit right in on our show. We should get him to be a host one time, you know?
I'm totally down with that, and I feel that he would be totally okay with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed him. He promoted the show great. He had some great things to talk about. I like the insight that he gives. You guys will hear that in a few minutes when we wrap up our quick review. My takes on the film, you're right. You know, when you first see the trailer for it or the bio, it looks straight up B-movie-ish. But then it didn't really have entirely that feel throughout. It felt like, you know, more legit. And it had some quality actors inside of it, like you just mentioned, Beth Littleford as well, who a lot of folks know, and Kyle Kinane, who's more of a stand-up comedian, but he was fantastic in it. And the... you know, the plot is a basic one, but at the same time, it gives you enough twists and turns that you're like, oh, I actually didn't see that coming. I wasn't really sure where they were going with that one. So, you know, the script is well done for what it's worth. I really enjoyed it. It does have some hallucinating drug humor in there, which personally I'm never a fan of, but it wasn't enough to lose me. You know, like it had a scene or two and they were funny enough where I was like, okay, let's move along. That was good. And they did.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, on the same point, like that probably out of the movie, that probably was my least favorite part was them high on whatever weird Molly LSD drug it was. But yeah, it was short enough that time passed and then it moved on to, you know, more funny stuff.
Yippee.
Mm-hmm. And I think everybody in it, I mean, the two guys, the main stars of it, Brian Greenberg and Brooks Whelan, like, I don't think I've seen them in anything else, but they were both pretty funny. You know, they had... You know, one was sort of the straight man, which was the guy that was getting married, and then his, you know, insane best friend, who's obviously the comic relief. But I think together, I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I think their chemistry trumped any acting performance overall. You know, the chemistry of the two of them together carried their performances, and it was well done. I enjoyed the two of them together, really played off. If they do another film, they should definitely partner those two up. They definitely came off as friends, and from what we heard from Sanjeev, that they became friends in real life, and it made sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. You could tell that either they did know each other, or obviously they were becoming real friends.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of the scenes, especially, you know, with just them together, like there's this whole thing that they go on about how every movie would be better if Danny Trejo was in it, which I think we can all completely agree on. Like it feels like that scene probably could have gone on for 15-20 minutes, and they have probably had to cut it down.
Yeah, the irony is that just that sentence that you said, which they said in the film, of any movie would be better with him, like, that could have been the end of the conversation. Like, just, okay, we all agree. But they went on just giving examples of movies that would be better with him starring in them, which was hilarious. It was hilarious. It was funny. Plus, it was also funny because it was a typical, like, guy, you know, when guys are out on a guy trip and just they get that random moment of the stupidest conversation, that was part of it. It was like, were they just having just a random guy stupid combo? But, you know, it's... important life lessons that we're talking
it
about.
Is.
Danny
it is.
Trejo being in Mrs. Doubtfire or something to that effect.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Completely agree. You know, also important conversations like how good is Crocodile Dundee 2, which I think we can all also agree is a national treasure
valid.
For us and Australia.
Very valid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So your blog is already up on take2podcast.com, and please go read and check that out. Craig gets a little more in-depth with some plot points and spoilery stuff on there and more detail. We have the interview with the writer and director coming up in just a moment. And what you folks need to do is go watch the film. We tweeted out the film link, or if we didn't, we will by the time you listen to this. And we mentioned it on our Facebook and our Twitter. So check out at Take Two Podcast on Twitter, go to Facebook and follow us there, and then send us your emails. Let us know what you thought about this movie, because we've got the in, folks. We can send that directly to the writer and the director, Sanjeev Sirpal, who we think did a phenomenal job. But take2podcast@gmail.com. Send us those thoughts for Random Tropical Paradise.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if you get it after you check out the movie and you check out the interview, you know, let them know, you know, that you heard them on our podcast. You know, I know that the movie's Twitter is RTPMovie, at RTPMovie. Sanjeev Sirpal's Twitter you should be able to find. I believe it's Jeevosity. So it's Jeevosity. I think is how you spell it. But just look up Sanjeev, Sangeev. Sirpal, you should be able to find it, and or look for him through the Random Tropical one or through our friends. You can find him, let him know you heard him on our podcast, how much you enjoyed him on the podcast, and you know, maybe we can get some of the other stars on there.
Awesome. I totally take back what I said about clicking the link that we posted. Go to Video On Demand and spend money to watch this film, because it's worth the $4.99 you'll spend on Amazon. And also, that goes to the artists. Don't watch it from us.
Correct.
I take back what I said. Go spend the money, because these guys deserve it. They put in a lot of hard work, and they deserve that little bit of coin that'll come out of your pocket as it did out of ours.
Completely agree, Brian. Completely agree.
All right, that wraps us up. Folks, stay tuned for Craig's one-on-one interview, exclusive interview with Sanjeev Sirpal. And then as soon as you're done with us, go watch Random Tropical Paradise. We really enjoyed it, and I know you will.
Peace out. There goes that that skank in your wife. I want to know who will be by my side. Folks, welcome back to Take Two Podcast. This is your host, Craig. We are joined by a very special guest right now. From the newly released movie, Random Tropical Paradise, came out June 9th. Various theaters and video on demand everywhere you can get it. We have the writer, director, producer, Sanjeev Sirpal. How you doing, Sanjeev? Thanks for joining us today.
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I'm so glad you're able to come. I mean, the movie's spectacular. We were able to check it out on the screener, which we really appreciate. And I know you guys are doing some Q&As, you said, out in L.A. and New York and Atlanta.
Yes, yes. Have Q&As with the cast and myself and in those cities. So yeah, there is no rest for the weary.
No.
It's been a blast, though.
Of course not. But it is available on video on demand, iTunes, Amazon, all those places for anybody else to get it, and not in those nice, cool, select cities.
Yes, yeah, yes. It's iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft Movies, Sony Entertainment Network. Basically any VOD platform you can think of, Vudu, we're on all of those as well. So, if you're not seeing it in the theater in L.A., New York, or Atlanta, you can definitely see it in the comfort of your own home.
Perfect, perfect. So how did this movie come together? Is it something you've always had in your head? Did you get left at the altar or anything like that?
No. Thankfully, I did not get left at the altar. I am married to a wonderful Wonder Woman, a superhuman of a woman who does not realize yet that she's way out of my league. She has horrible eyesight, and it works in my favor. She keeps on asking or thinking about getting LASIK, and I'm like, never!
Oh, no, we don't want that to happen, no.
But I was, you know, the genesis of the movie was kind of sort of tapping into that zeitgeist of, you know, the feeling that I'm sure everyone has gone through at some point of, you know, that heartbreak of a relationship ending, and, you know, sometimes when it ends and you are not, you know, you didn't see it coming, or you are not ending it. It's being ended for you.
Right.
I guess is the feeling of that. You know, I was kind of thinking, you know, that's the sort of the emotional center of it. And it's sort of playing into that Tolstoy quote that I'm going to butcher. But it's that whole, you know, while two people might have had different experiences through art, they can share the same emotion. What's the movie version of that universal feeling? And like, what's the most over the top way that you can show that? So I was thinking, okay, like, what's the biggest, you know, craziest way for a kind of screwball comedy to show that kind of thing happening? And it's like, oh, happens at a wedding. And not only does it happen at the wedding, it happens to, you know, the guy, like, right before they're about to get married in the most, like, you know, fantastic way possible. And fantastic, not, like, fantastic great, but, like, fantastic, like, crazy.
Oh, yes. Fantastic, horribly crushing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fantastic in, like, that soul-crushing kind of
right,
thing.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, and then from there, it's like, you know, everyone has that sort of, everyone has their different story of how they got over that sort of breakup. And, you know, more often than not, it's not only what they did, but it's what their friends did to rally around them to get them out of that funk. And sometimes it gives you sort of that pass of like, all right, like, this just happened, and now I have free rein for stuff to start getting weird, because I'm just going to go nuts and not have to worry about it for a little while. I'm just going to deal with me and, you know, throw caution to the wind because I've earned this.
Exactly. Kind of exactly.
And that leads to, you know, in the movie, again, kind of what is the most heightened version or the craziest way to depict that. And it's like, oh, instead of canceling, you know, you already canceled the wedding, instead of canceling the honeymoon as well, what if the groom and the best man went on the honeymoon together as a homie moon, if you will, and then have hijinks ensue.
Yeah, which is genius, and I don't know why I don't hear about this happening more when weddings fall apart, because this is a genius idea that I feel all best men and groomsmen should be doing when this happens.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we should, you know, I should probably look into, you know, writing the guidebook or writing the book of, you know, here's the survival guide to what happens if you get, you know, to the altar, but not necessarily past the altar at a wedding.
Exactly, exactly. So while there were tons of basically you could almost call them hijinks that happened through to these two guys the entire time, were there any personal experiences you had that you put into the script?
I mean, definitely sort of I've had relationships end not the way I thought they were going to end.
Because they were married to mob bosses and stuff?
Something like that. Right. Yeah, you know, it always happens. You know, that age-old, oh, man, if I can only find a girl who's not married to a mob boss.
Right, exactly.
Gotten that to, you know, in terms of, and then in terms of, like, you know, I've definitely had a lot of it would be sort of even conversations that I've had with friends of mine, mm-hmm. that I'll sort of throw into the movie. Like, I've definitely had that Danny Trejo conversation with friends of mine.
Oh, yes, we have to get into that, because that, I mean, the love for Danny Trejo in this movie is so obvious and, you know, needs to be expressed, I think, in all movies.
Oh, that love is real, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I absolutely, you know, that's not even, that's the writer's voice coming through in the film, being like, every movie needs to have Danny Trejo.
Yeah,
I was
hoping and, had you know, praying that somehow he would just show up randomly at the end of this movie.
We were talking about having, I don't know if I want to give this away, but we were talking about sort of segueing into, you know, say we do like a random, you know, knock on wood, do we do a random Tropical Paradise sequel or something like that?
Right.
The stinger post-credit sequence is like, you know, Bowie getting onto a flight and he sits down, and as he's getting to his seat, he kind of looks around and realizes that he's on the stripper flight. And then he, like, looks to his right, and he sees, you know, one of the strippers on the stripper flight, and then he looks to his left, and it's Danny Trejo.
I mean, you know, that he could die happy right there.
Mm-hmm. We had so many, I'd written so many other, like, we have so many more Danny Trejo in, you know, blockbuster movies that were written and that we shot, and you know, and then the cast, we were all just sitting there. Even for like days afterwards, just coming up even on the set, being like, oh, what about this one for Danny Trejo? It was just like, it was a ton of fun.
Right, I feel like that scene in the hotel where they were doing it probably was, you know, filming-wise, 15 to 20 minutes long, and you just had to shorten it down a little bit to actually fit into a film.
Oh, yeah, it could have been an hour. It could have been a whole movie of just the two guys sitting there talking about different movies that would have been better if Danny Trejo starred in them.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, that gets a little bit into the cast you had in this film. I mean, you had Brian Greenberg and Brooks Whelan. You know, I've seen some other things that are pretty funny. But, I mean, you had tons of, you know, famous people in here. Kyle Kinane and Beth Littlefield and, I mean, Joey Pantoliano. I don't even know how you were able to get him. Like, that's incredible. He's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was on a plane when he signed on, and we landed, and I didn't have my Wi-Fi connected or something. I got on the plane, and we landed, and I had all these like texts and calls. calls from our casting directors, who deserve a ton of credit. Our casting directors, Blind Ailing and Janelle Scuderi, who were able to, they basically gave me the opportunity to be able to put this cast together. I mean, they were ridiculous. I cannot thank them enough for giving me this dream cast, or allowing me to put together this dream cast. But yeah, basically we landed on their messages were all, call me right now. And I called them and they were like, Joey Pants is in. And I freaked out in an airport.
Right, as you should.
Airport freaking out, and then ran out of the airport and then freaked out at a safe distance from the airport.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's, I emailed, Joe after he had signed on just to, you know, say, I'm so excited to work with you. I, you know, thank you so much for, being a part of the movie. I can't wait to, you know, get to set and, you know, make something hilarious. And he wrote back saying he liked the script so much that he agreed to do the film before he even got to his part. And I, to which point I replied, you know, I did actually. I framed that email, and that email is now in a frame on the wall of my office.
And you threw away your pants at that point because they were useless.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was the casting was meticulous in the sense that, you know, sent the script to Brian, and he wanted to meet me, and he and I sat down like 2 days before his wedding and had like a 4-hour meeting just talking about the script, breaking down the character elements for his character, talking about, I mean, it was great. It was a phenomenal meeting. And then driving back from that meeting, I got the call that he had signed on, and he was like, all right, this was great. I'm going to go get married. I'll talk to you, you know, next week.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, the work he put into this is, I'm so appreciative of. I mean, you know, it's a, what I like to call a stupid comedy for smart people, but it's hard to pull that off. And, you know, it's all grounded and centered and believable because of his performance.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he definitely put in the work for it. I mean, it was really refreshing and really crazy and awesome to have. I mean, that was like the first of like a few of these like 4-hour meetings that he and I would have, talking about the script, talking about the characters, you know, all the background and everything. And it was, I mean, you can see it in the performance in the sense that, like, he's a pro. And, you know, you see it in the film with the, you know, how he brings it all together. And then even the relationship with him and Brooks, they became really, that was an awesome thing about the shooting as well, is that, like, we all became really good friends. Like, we would hang out after the shoot and all go out and have dinner and just hang out in each other's hotel rooms, and, you know, we do escape rooms together and stuff. And and even after the, you know, because you hear all these things about people go and do movies and then the, you know, the movie's done and they scatter,
right,
we all still keep in touch, you know, and then we'll all hang out and get together when we have the opportunities to. And he and Brooks became really good friends on set, and they continue to, you know, hang out all the time, you know, they continue their friendship even to this day. And that relationship you see in the film, or the relationship they, you know, they formed and have in real life, definitely came off in the film as well, that they're these two best friends that are, like, you know, really looking out for each other. Brooks, you know, is, he's a superstar, man. It was like such a great, you know, breakout role for him. And he actually read for Randy originally. And after his Randy reading, I was talking with the casting directors and I was like, he would be a really good Bowie. And they were like, oh, we were thinking the same thing. And yeah, he crushes it. I mean, he, you know, this cast is, they make me look way more talented than I probably actually am.
Oh, look at you being all humble and stuff.
They, you know, I could go to, you know, Spencer Grammer, Aidan Mayeri, Jessica Lowe is hilarious. She absolutely nailed her part when I was Googling everything I could find about her for that part. And she has this video on YouTube of like a 12-year-old boy. It's her doing a character of a 12-year-old boy reading 50 Shades of Grey for the first time.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and it's so funny that I was like, oh, she's got to be B. Spencer, I ended up randomly talking. She had no idea who I was when I walked in, and I was talking to her. I was talking to her like outside the casting office before she was coming in to read. you know, we were talking about like Swedish coffee beans or something innocuous like that. And when I walked into the casting room, I was like, oh, Colette's outside. She, you know, she's going to come in, but I was like, she's absolutely Colette. Come in and read and everything, but we're giving her that part.
Right. This is just a formality now.
This is just a formality, yeah. If she can read, then this part is hers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, Brittany Ferlin, unheard as she came in and was literally like, oh, this is my part. I know this character so well. I can do this. I can do this. Let me do my, like, Philly accent. And she walked in, you know, declared that this was her part, and damn it, she was right. You know, and she did that audition, and her performance, like her throwaway lines are so funny, how she does them and what she did with every line that she had in this film is it comes off so well. I mean, it's hilarious. It's so funny how she like really made this character her. I'm just going to go and talk about every.
We'll just go down the entire cast list. That's fine.
Kyle has been my favorite comedian, you know, since I first saw him at the Largo in 2009. And I actually wrote this part for him. His voice was in my head when I was writing the part. So it was like crazy surreal when we were casting. And, you know, I kept on telling the casting directors, like, I wrote this part for Kyle. You know, it might be hard to cast because I just see Kyle as this part. And they were just like, well, why don't we just see if we can get Kyle? And we got Kyle, and it was crazy. Like, hearing him actually say the lines that I was already hearing in my head of him saying when I was writing it was amazing. Like, he would, you know, we would sit there on set, and he would be, you know, asking things about how to say, you know, how, you know, performance and any notes I had or anything. And I was like, nope, if you say it, then it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how I pictured it.
Yeah.
And then Beth was another, you know, Beth Littleford, like, she was, you know, the first female correspondent on The Daily Show, has done Crazy Stupid Love and, like, these hilarious comedies, and, you know, comes in and crushes all her scenes with her and Kyle are insane. And you know, it was a lot of that, you know, everyone just really responded to the script, which I was really, really, it was very humbling to have these people that, like, I look up to that are now gravitating towards something that I wrote and want to be a part of that as well. So that was super cool. You know, and Alfonso was another person that came in and like crushed his audition and is so funny as Randy, which was such a, like, I loved writing that Randy character. So finding that person, you know, I was anticipating it was going to be, okay, this is going to be a tricky task because I had a lot of fun writing these scenes. And, you know, Alfonso came in, and I was like, oh, okay, that wasn't going to be hard at all. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe between, you know, Kinane and Beth Littlefield and Joey Pants and all these incredibly hot women you had around, like, any work actually got done to make a movie.
I mean, if you do it right, it's not work. It's literally, we're just having, you know, we're playing make-believe. We're having fun, just like, you know, as long as a camera is running while we were having that fun, then that's the work that needs to be done, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of, yeah, I literally talked about everybody in the cast, and then I can't believe I was, Aiden is, like, blowing up everywhere now, too. She's, like, when we cast her, she was, like, the young ingenue coming into, you know, in Hollywood and sort of making her name, and then, you know, she crushed our movie and now is in, like, every single high-profile TV show.
Right, exactly.
Like, premiering on Sundance. And, like, everyone's just so funny. It was so fun. Like, yeah, you just didn't realize you were working, I guess. So it's almost just, it's totally that, like, yeah, it's surprising we got any work done, but it was kind of just, we'll set up the shots, we'll have the camera run, and then we'll just play. Which was, you know, fantastic. And comes across, hopefully, on the screen.
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does. So it was shot in Florida, right? That's where you guys ended up shooting it? Because it looks amazing.
Yes. Yeah, we shot it in St. Petersburg, Florida. This ridiculous resort that we stayed at, and we also shot there, called the Trade Winds. Let us play around on their, like, pristine white sand beaches.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, take over this, like, cool, sleepy little beach town.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, there were a couple times where you're like, well, maybe that shot wasn't perfect. We're going to need to stay another week just to be sure.
Yeah, totally. We could hear, they have, like, a guy, you know, our exactly here. I mean, it was almost that cliche, like, you couldn't write this scene where you hear someone, like, playing Jimmy Buffett, and it's coming into your hotel room, and you look outside, and it's, like, this Jimmy Buffett cover band right. playing on the beach.
Exactly.
And they're, like, making s'mores around a fire pit. Like,
yeah, that's the perfect background for a random tropical paradise. Like,
Yeah, totally. And that's what they just did. We were, you know, we just were like, oh, what's going on downstairs? And they're like, nah, it's Thursday night.
Yeah, that's it, you know. So I have to ask, because I did notice it, you know, as I'm watching the credits, you know, I have to ask about what you now consider to be the world's best donuts in the universe, sidecar donuts and coffee that you thanked in there, which now means that when I head out to L.A., I'm going to have to go to Sidecar just to see if this is
correct. Oh, absolutely. I will put, I will and have put up my, put up Sidecar as the greatest donut anyone will ever have. And I am undefeated in anyone who has dared to challenge me, against Sidecar. They are on Wilshire and Sixth, and are, when we were doing color correction, in post for the movie, the supervisor there, the director of the post house, Heather, told me about this place, and I was like, oh, I'll walk over, because I was telling her, you know, how much I love donuts and whatnot, and I was like, oh, I'll walk over and check it out. It was only four blocks away. It is mind-blowing. They are hands down the best donuts. I have gotten people who hate donuts hooked on Sidecar.
Who hates donuts? What kind of
it is
weird people are you hanging out with?
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, yeah, it's I was so quick to convert them to Sidecar that I didn't even realize that I should be questioning both their choices and my choices for hanging out with them on the fact that they didn't love donuts.
Right, but exactly.
It's Sidecar's insane. They have these, like, butter and salt ones and, like, huckleberry donuts, and they're, like, vanilla twists are sort of like their staples, and then they just rotate monthly with these, like, ridiculous flavors of, I don't know how they come up with it and how they make it. I just know that, like, I can eat a dozen in a sitting and not feel bad about myself at all.
I think it's a great idea. And we're obviously going to cut this out and just send it to Sidecar, you know, expecting some free donuts for a, you know, 5-minute commercial for them. It seems like the movie's, you know, it's amazing from everything we've been able to see from it. Like I said, we saw the screener and everything. Has the reception been pretty strong at the screenings that you've been to and what you've been hearing from people?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to, you know, hear a theater full of people laughing at stuff we made. It's been fantastic. I mean, looking at audience reviews on, like, the, you know, IMDb and iTunes and Amazon and things like that, like, we're, you know, 5-star reviews and what people are saying that have seen it, have been great. And then even, you know, just across our social media channels for the movie and, you know, people, their response to clips that have been released in the press have been amazing. You know, High Times magazine actually released an exclusive clip, and I've never seen a clip on the internet that didn't have at least one you know, internet troll comment.
Right, obviously.
Until this High Times clip that they posted for, you know, on their page and on YouTube and everything like that. I've never seen, I mean, it just, every single comment was like, I can't wait to see this movie. I've got to see this movie. The High Times followers are my people. You know, I guess they're, but yeah, I mean, the response has been fantastic and overwhelming. Makes me very happy for all of the, while it is a very fun summer movie, you know, a lot of us put a lot of hard work into it, and it makes me happy that, you know, that's paying off in that, the audience is responding to a movie that we made for them. So that's good.
That's good. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. And all of our listeners, they can go to our website again, take2podcast.com. You can check out the review we wrote for it. It'll be posted there. We'll talk about how much we love the movie and everything like that. And, I mean, like, the writing is tremendous in it, you know, so I got to give you complete credit for that. I mean, the jokes in there, even if it was all improv and you had nothing to do with it, just take complete credit for it. So I have to ask you before we go, we always ask any guest that comes on to Take Two, we always ask him this one question. So if you're ready for it, we'll give it to you.
All right, let me take my, I'm gonna take the position, I'm gonna take the stance to be ready for
right.
it.
So you're walking down the street, you see walking towards you Harrison Ford. Do you think, oh my God, that's Han Solo, or do you think, oh my God, that's Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's a good one. Honestly, I think, oh my God, that's Indiana Jones dressed as Han Solo.
Perfect. Perfect. Look at that. You're getting both answers.
I would actually be like, oh my God, that's Indiana Jones. But the first thing I would still yell is probably like, Greedo didn't shoot first.
We know. We support you.
We support you.
Perfect. Perfect. That answer couldn't be any better.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But thank you so much again for joining us. We really appreciate it, Sanjeev. Again, guys, if you want to check it out, it's Random Tropical Paradise. Just came out this past Friday, the 9th. It's on VOD everywhere, all across the country, all across the world. iTunes, Amazon, pretty much anywhere you can get on-demand programming, you can find it there. It is in a few select theaters, like you mentioned, L.A., New York, Atlanta, anything like that. So if it's in your area, go check it out in the theater. Otherwise, get it on demand, check it out, and let Sanjeev know how much you like the movie. Thanks again for joining us so much. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Mm-hmm. All right.